Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20 this morning. Revelation chapter 20. We are going to read together verses 11 through 15 out of Revelation 20. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 this morning. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Revelation chapter 20 this morning, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for these messages that you've directed and led our pastor to preach. God, thank you for Pastor Johnson and Miss Johnson in these 26 years of preaching to us and guiding us and direct us. But Father, we ask one more Sunday that you would anoint him with thy power and use him to help us today to see as Christians what we need in our lives, work in our hearts. And Father, if there's one here that does not know 100% for sure that they're going to have eternal life, that today they would get that settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Now, due to time frame this morning, because if you're a clock-watching Baptist like most people, you realize we should be dismissing right now instead of starting the sermon, but no chance. I'm going to ask that you make sure your cell phones are turned off or to vibrate. If they go off, you will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So help us with that today. And I'm going to ask you to sit still. Now, listen very carefully this morning. We have been, these last several weeks, been covering the events and characters surrounding the second coming of Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. When he returns, first part of his return, he will return to the clouds. We will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. If you're saved, you're going up. He will not come to this earth initially. He will come to the clouds. We will go to meet him. We return to heaven with Jesus Christ. As soon as we return to heaven with him, we stand immediately before the judgment seat of Christ, where our lives are examined to determine their impact and their worth, and God will do the determination. While we are in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, and by the way, may I say this again, listen very carefully, that means since Christ could return at any moment, in these next few moments, you and your life and the way you live it could be standing in front of Jesus Christ. That's why a Christian should always live ready to meet their Savior. While we are in heaven with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, the saved are there. On this earth, there is a seven-year period called Great Tribulation. The end of that seven-year period, two-thirds of the world's population is dead. There are 30-some judgments consecutively poured out on this earth. At the end of that 7 years, there's not much of anything that looks like the earth left. Most all the green grass is gone, all the trees are burnt off, all the living creatures in the sea are dead. Two-thirds of mankind is a corpse. At the end of that seven-year period of tribulation, and by the way, during that seven-year period of tribulation on this earth, there arises a character, a man named the Antichrist. We know that he becomes Satan-possessed. He starts off initially as a man of peace and then turns on the nation of Israel and this world and manifests himself as one who wants to replace Christ, anti-Christ. The end of the 7 year period of time, Christ returns, this time visibly All eyes see him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. He returns to this earth with an army of the saved with him. Comes back to this earth, sets his foot down on the earth. On Mount Olives, Mount of Olives, by the way, outside the city of Jerusalem, it cleaves in half. A river issues forth that flows to the Dead Sea and brings it to life again. And Jesus rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. He establishes authority. A battle takes place when he returns because the people on this earth, after all the judgments of God, still reject Christ. And when they see him return, instead of bowing the knee to yield, they turn to fight. And that's Armageddon. A great battle takes place. Man loses. Christ wins. He establishes his rule and reign. And the saved that went to heaven to meet him return with him to this earth. And we take over all authority. We run the show. Not much to run, quite frankly. And for that 1,000-year period of time, Satan is bound in hell. Or in a bottomless pit, let's say, as the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that 1,000 years... After many people see Jesus, they still reject him. And Satan is loose for a short season. He amasses an army. There is a conflict that takes place, and it's almost ridiculous to even call it a conflict. But God decides he's going to resolve all issues. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and the false prophet are," that's his false preacher, "and shall be tormented day and night forever." Now look at verse 11, and he says, "And then I saw a great white throne." Listen now, eternity is about to begin. God, and I, please be here next Sunday and the next 2 Sundays. We're going to talk about a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to tell you what the heavenly Jerusalem is going to be like. What heaven is going to be like after it is all said and done. But before eternity dawns, there is one more event that God must resolve all issues on, and it is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20 and verse number 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." There is one last judgment after everything is said and done. Listen now. One last judgment before eternity dawns. One last judgment before the new heaven and the new earth. One last judgment before God makes everything brand new. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now I want you to listen very carefully this morning. Why is it called the Great White Throne Judgment? Well, number one, because of what the throne itself is. Bible calls it a white throne. White in the Bible is a symbol of justice. The throne is a symbol of authority. In Revelation chapter 4, if you remember, we talked about how that when we are caught up together with the Lord to return to heaven, we see someone sitting upon a throne, only this is a rainbow throne. And the rainbow is a picture of mercy and forgiveness. And when you go to heaven as a Christian, you're not going to face justice, which we deserve too, by the way. We're going to face mercy and forgiveness. Now, sometime later, as the Bible depicts for us here in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, there is a white throne, and the throne symbolizes justice and authority. This judgment, ladies and gentlemen, at this judgment, there is no mercy. At this judgment, there is no forgiveness. There will never be a judgment with God where God looks at your life, weighs the good and the bad, and says, "Well, your good was good enough, your bad wasn't bad enough, and it's okay." There is not a judgment described in the Bible where you and I or anyone ever stands in front of God and he says, "Well, here's what your life is, but don't worry about it. I just forgive you anyway." There is no judgment like that. Those people today, the liberals and the modernists and the neo-orthodox who say, "Don't worry about it, God is just going to forgive everybody," do not believe the Bible, do not understand the Bible. Look at me, and they don't understand God. The white throne is a symbol of justice. You stand at this throne. If you stand there for examination at this judgment, friend, you're going to get justice. So, well, that's good, Pastor Johnson. Then I'll get me a lawyer and I'll stand up there and he'll speak for me and I'll talk my way out of this stuff. You will never find a judgment in the Word of God where anyone speaks to God about anything. God does all the talking. You see, it's a throne. That's authority. You stand at this place of judgment, it is a place of pure justice. Look here. God resolves all issues of mankind. Now they're finding with these DNA samples and the DNA, they're able to find criminals who committed crimes 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. They thought they got away with something. There are people today who have committed things with their life and they think no one knows and they got away with it. Look at me. There is a place of justice with God. Nobody gets away with anything here. This is a place of justice, the great white throne. And it's a place of authority. It is God who says what happens here. It is God who determines how it turns out. It is God who does the examination, and it is God who says this is the way it's going to be. Not going to be one of these phony trial things where we have to ask permission from everybody else on the planet, horse around with it, kill someone, sit on death row for 40 years and die of old age. Not at the great white throne. That's not how it works. Let me remind you of something this morning. Don't ever get discouraged with the ineffective justice of mankind. There is a pure justice with God. The day will come when God will resolve all issues. That's why it's a great white throne. Look here. It is a great white throne, number two, because of who it is that sits on the throne. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 11, it just calls him, I saw him. Well, in John chapter 5, verse 22, and John chapter 5 and verse number 27, the Bible says God has committed all judgment to his Son. That's Jesus. At the great white throne, it's Jesus Christ who is the judge. At the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian, it is the judgment seat of Christ. All places of judgment now for mankind, you stand before Jesus Christ for examination. He is the judge. So you know why that is, by the way? Because Jesus was judged for us. We took the picture and the symbol of that this morning in the Lord's Supper. On the cross of Christ, where Jesus went to the cross, the sin and the penalty and the payment and the punishment of sin was placed upon Jesus Christ, and God judged him in our place. So Jesus was judged for us. That's why if you're a Christian this morning, you will not face judgment for your sin. Jesus has already been judged for that sin. That's a wonderful thing this morning. Ought to make us all get up and have a little Pentecostal running fit because you got to get out of jail free card. No, I got to get out of hell free card because Jesus was judged for me. But at the great white throne, he's the judge now. It is him that sits upon this throne. It's a great white throne, and him, Jesus, is sitting there. And the one who paid for everyone's sins will now judge the sins of all mankind. Well, I don't think my God would do that, Pastor Johnson. Then, my friend, look at me this morning. That's one of the reasons we have been preaching this message, is because people need to stop inventing the God they want. Look at me. They need to stop creating their own God. Well, my God wouldn't do that. Well, then you got the wrong one. We don't make God. God made us. We don't create God. God created us. We don't decide what kind of God we want. You don't make God as you understand him. God made you. God made me. God put the breath in our bodies. He's God and we are his creation. And one day he settles it all. You know why it's a great white throne this morning? Because who is judged? I want you to look at Revelation 20 and verse 12 now. It says, and I want you to notice how they're described who are judged here. It says, I saw the dead. Does that mean they're corpses there? Dead bodies, and the Lord, God is judging dead bodies? And then he says, I saw the dead, small and great. Now notice the statement, stand before God. It says he got a bunch of propped up corpses, and they stand there, and he goes down and judges the corpses. You see, the dead in the Bible symbolize a representation of Ephesians 2 and verse 2. You have to... Young ladies, sit up, please. Hey, don't do that. Sit up. Now, that's rude. Sit up. Sit up. Thank you. You have to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, look at me. In the Bible, when you have sin in your life, you're dead unto God. You know why the expression in the Scripture is you have to be born again? It's because we're dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Now look here. The truth of the matter is, dear people, when we as human beings commit sin in our life, we are literally, spiritually dead to God. You could be alive and breathing, have a pulse, and have a never-dying eternal soul in your body and still be dead unto God. So when it says, I saw the dead standing there, here's what that means. It means lost people. People who never accepted Christ as their Savior. See, accepting Christ as your Savior gets your sin penalty paid. It regenerates you in the sight of God. It removes the penalty of sin, and you are alive unto God now. Until that day comes, we're dead unto God. So those are not corpses. Those are living, breathing people. If we had the medical profession come in and do all the medical tests necessary on those who stood there, they say, ever these people are scientifically very much alive, but to God they're dead because the sin thing has not been resolved. Now look at me, friend. That's why this thing about salvation on my side I'm happy with, but not God's side won't work. Well, I'm okay. See, everything's okay with me and God as far as you're concerned. What about His side? See, if you're not saved, you're dead unto God. Until you get saved, and then when you trust Christ, you're alive unto God. I saw the dead, he said. Now notice the next way they're described. It says, I saw the dead small and great. Does that mean short people, tall people? It means famous and infamous. These are all the people of eternity, all of them, from the first to the last. They're all standing there. Look here. Look over in that crowd. You see him? There's Muhammad. And next to him is Muhammad Ali. There's the young man who is the priest in India who set out to purify himself from the things of this world and became known as the Buddha. He stands there too. There's Marx, Lenin, and John, Paul, and George. Why, there's Michael Jackson. Oh my. Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong. You start looking through the crowd and there are some well-known names standing there. Small and great, it means people no one knew and people everybody knew. There'd be religious people there. Popes, priests, preachers, religious crowds of all kinds and varieties. I saw the dead, the Bible said, small and great stand there. Now listen, it simply means and reminds us that at the great white throne judgment, nobody escapes judgment. No one. Well, surely Mother Teresa, I mean, certainly this dear lady. Obviously, if that woman never trusted Christ before she left this life, she'll stand at that judgment. The goodness of your life or the badness of your life does not make a difference. There is a purity. Remember, this is a white throne of justice. That means they're all going to be there. And no one gets away with anything, and everything will be resolved, and everyone will stand there who never trusted Christ as their Savior. Grandmothers will be there. Religious people will be there. Atheists will be there. Will you? Why is it a great white throne? Because what is judged? Two things are judged at this judgment. Please notice carefully. Look at the end of verse 12 and the end of verse 13. There is a repeated statement, according to their works. It says, according to their works. Do you know what is judged at the great white throne? Not goodness, not badness. What did you do with your life? And whose life did it impact and affect? You know, I wouldn't want to be the leader of a false religion at the great white throne. And turn around and look back and see millions of people who followed you because you said you had a vision, who said you had a revelation, who started a religion that led people away from Jesus Christ. Because remember who you're standing in front. You're standing in front of Jesus Christ, who is the judge. And that's Christ, the only one on the throne. It's not a combination of religious leaders. It's Jesus who stands on the throne. So don't get upset with people when they say, well, you believe Christ is the only way. Well, what about this group? And what about that group? Doesn't make any difference. Don't you understand? Our job is not to prepare God you can accept. Our job is to prepare you to be accepted by the God of the Bible. And stop this foolishness. We're trying to be so politically correct, we're not telling people the truth of what happens. We will stand in front of Jesus. It is His scars in His hands and His scars in His feet and His scars upon His brow. It is Jesus who is the judge. And what is judged, the Bible says, is they're judged according to their works. Now, it mentions, if you'll notice carefully in verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." What's written? God's record of every action in their life. One more time, no one speaks. No one says, well, you have to understand. See, here's why I did that. See, it was August the 14th, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was hot, and I wasn't in touch with my inner child, and I wasn't feeling good about myself, and I couldn't help it because my mom put my diaper on too tight when I was little, and everything just wasn't going too well for me. So you'll have to understand, I was very codependent and not in a good place in my life. You think God's going to put up with that forever? He says, here it is. This is what you did. It's written here, and that's every word, every thought, every action, every deed we've ever done in our life, and it's all written there. He says, bring him up, stand here. What do the books say he's done? What do the books say his life is affected? How many people were affected by this man? I wouldn't want to be a bartender at the judgment of God. I wouldn't want to be a drug pusher at the judgment of God. I wouldn't want to be Hugh Hefner at the judgment of God. I wouldn't want to be somebody whose life infected and affected multitudes of people. It's all brought out there. What is judged is makes it the great white throne. Our works are judged. But wait a minute. There's one more thing that's judged. Would you notice carefully verse 15? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The other thing that is judged at the judgments, the great white throne, is this. The books in the book. The books is everything that they've done. It's all recorded there. But the book, the Bible calls it, is the book of life. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. And they went out, and as they preached, they cast out devils and healed people. They came back. They were so excited about starting a new Benny Hinn ministry. They said, even the devils are subject unto us. I mean, we saw people healed and dead people raised, and they were so excited. And what did Jesus say? Marvel not that you can do these great wonders, but marvel rather that your name is written in heaven. My friend, the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God wrote your name down in glory. In the book of life. Pastor Johnson, if this is all lost people, why is that book there? Show them there's place for them. Could have been. We are not of the Calvinistic teaching that God only saves the elect. The elect are the whosoever will, and the non-elect are the whosoever won't. But he'll let him see it. Your name could have been here. I had a place for you. My friend, see, we think of the judgment of God like this and we think, boy, that's a severe God. How unkind. God opens the book and says, now that we've judged you for your works, I want you to understand, August the 2nd, 2009, you sit in a church and he preached the gospel and your name could have been there. Your friends witnessed to you and gave you a track and told you how to be saved, but you just blew the whole thing off like it was no big deal. Your name could have been there. It's a great white throne judgment. Not only because what is judged, but also because who is not there. You know there are no Christians mentioned at the great white throne judgment. That's because our sin is judged. But wait a minute. Who you do not see at the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20 and verse 11. There are Christians at the great white throne, I believe. In the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 that the generations of the past will rise up in judgment against the present day generations. Because he'll say the men of Nineveh rose up, they'll rise up in the judgment and they'll witness against this generation because a greater than Jonah was here. And the queen of Sheba will rise up and she'll witness against this generation because a greater than Solomon is here. I believe at the great white throne judgment, Christians are there not for judgment, but for witness. That's when I believe this will happen. Someone will begin to say, but Lord, wait. And he'll say, just a second, please. Mama, step up over here. See this mother right here? She told you how to be saved and you wouldn't do it. Preacher, Rachel, come over here. Stand right here. Did that man ever preach the gospel to you? Sunday school teacher, come here. This one right here taught you the Bible when you were a kid and told you about Jesus and salvation. I believe Christians are there for witness. Can I ask you a question this morning, Christian friend? While we revel in the glory of the fact we are escaping this great white throne judgment because our sins are judged and we're saved, will you be able to be a witness of any kind at all? Or are there going to be people in front of God pointing over at you and go, they live next door to me and never one time told me how to be saved. What are they doing in that crowd? I work with them. All they ever did was tailgate and party with me. They never told me about Jesus. If there's any words to be said, friend, I guarantee you, there's going to be some shouting going across that crowd saying, that one, you mean to tell me that one's a Christian? That one's going to heaven? You've got to be kidding me. Now, my dear friends, you look at this preacher this morning. It's time to stop this horsing around, fooling around Christianity where we just get our fire insurance and sit on our salvation like it's an egg and don't give a flip about the person we work with, live in our own family, live in our own neighborhood, and live in our own world. That's wicked. We go to church and get our little entertainment, get up and go home, and that's Christianity? Hogwash! The great white throne, they'll look at us and say, well, all they ever did was invite me to a church and all they did was play music all the time, tell me everything was fine and I'd be okay, and the preacher smiled and sent me home. What was that supposed to be? You know what, friend? That's terrible stuff. And the sad thing is, it will be too late to say it's too late. I'm sorry. I don't care if a hair lifts every dog in this county. We're going to preach that Christians need to stand up for Jesus Christ, not be unkind, not be rude. But friend, I'd rather you be rude and unkind than be quiet and let your friends die and go to hell. How wicked is that? The great white throne judgment, generations will rise up against future generations and saying, you mean to tell me you didn't trust Christ? We had very little and we trusted Him. Can you do that? Will you be able to do that? Or are you just going to do it your way? Will you be able to speak at the great white throne, Christian friend, or are you going to have to be silent? You're going to be ducking behind the tallest person you can find? It's a great white throne judgment because of the final results here. Verse 14 and 15, everyone at the great white throne for judgment goes to hell when it's over. Oh, but Pastor Johnson, that's forever. That's right. It's forever. But Pastor Johnson, where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the forgiveness, Pastor Johnson? Those two people are standing there and their lives are revealed and now they're going to spend forever in hell. Where's the forgiveness? Where's God's grace in all this, Pastor Johnson? I'll tell you where it is. It's in about 7,000 years of human history. 7,000 years of grace and 7,000 years of mercy and 7,000 years of God saying, come to me, come unto me all your labor and a heavy laden and I will give you rest and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Don't take that moment and blame God for this. God gave them centuries to turn. God gave them hope. God gave them light. God gave them the gospel. God gave them His word. God gave them the work of the Holy Spirit. And yes, my friend, God gave us His Son who came to this earth and died for us and rose from the grave to give us eternal life. Don't ever look at God like He has no justice and no fairness and no mercy. He's been doing nothing but show mercy and grace. This is a time for God to say, okay, that's it. That's it. I don't know about you this morning, but there are times when I cannot rest when I think about hell and I think about this thing of God. And all we're looking for is, you know, get out of here in time to get to the restaurant or get out of here in time to get to the meal or get out of here in time to get to what we want to do today. Christian friend, do you see the wickedness of that kind of indifference? I'm not asking you to go into this field of evangelism, but how about being an evangelistic Christian? How about giving someone the gospel? How about participating in some way to do something to keep people out of hell? No. We sit, we sputter, we spew, we fuss, we fight, we argue, we disagree, we get our nose out of joint about things, we go on about our life and we do what we want. And in all of that, Satan is running amok and having a field day with the indifference of God's people. I was thinking this morning early as I thought about our anniversary and the people of our church. I wanted so much to preach about that today, this morning. Let's think about our folks in heaven. How they sacrificed so many, over these years, sacrificed so much to reach people and get the gospel to people. And we didn't even have places of our own to meet in. And the places we met in were, you could call them substandard, and that would be kind. Many of the places we've had before. Because they cared about souls. And they cared about lives. So now we have nicer facilities and place of our own and, you know, all the stuff. And I'm thankful for it. And I don't discount that. And I'm grateful. And I appreciate it. Believe me, friend. You ever drink duck water before out of a well? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for lights that work. I'm thankful for comfortable chairs to sit in, though I don't get to sit in them very long. I'm thankful for all that stuff. I'm glad for toilets that flush. And I'm glad for buildings that work. And I'm glad for all of that. But God help us if we ever get to the place where we settle in, settle up, and decide it's my life and I'll do what I want to do. And those multitudes are pushed off into the fires of hell. So I just can't get my head wrapped around it, Pastor John. So I don't know how much it's going to take to wrap your head around the truth, but that's the truth and that's the way it is. And here's the hope. You miss the great white throne judgment for judgment by accepting Christ as your Savior. Number two, you stand at the day and those people you tried to win, and no one is going to stand there and go, I told him and he rejected it. No, because we know what it means. I'll be up at the hospital this afternoon visiting people, and I'll go to that, past that second floor room, no doubt. Or I'll watch that man in the last moments of his life reject Christ and go off into eternity without God. Every time I go to the hospital, I think about that man. It was 15 years ago. It still shivers up my spine. No one's glad anybody's going to hell. I don't care how many times they tell us that's where we need to go and how much junk you listen to that tells you that. The truth of the matter is hell is a real place. And Christian, let's do something about encouraging people enough to tell them about Christ and salvation. Let's get on this thing about the Christian life. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.